You know, last week we started talking about it's all in his name. And we were talking about the name of the Lord and how that name, like we're to run to that name, like it's a strong tower. And people that are running to his name, they're safe. And today, I know what God was wanting me to share on was talking about God the Father. And you, please understand, there are many, many, many names of God. But one specifically with God the Father, he is our Father. In Vines, the definition of Father is this. Let's take a look here. Father. This is in Vine's dictionary, a nourisher, protector, upholder, originator of a family. You see, God the Father, he's the originator of a family. And see, the way that we become children of God is by simply having faith. Trusting and believing that Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, taking care of every sin, every mistake we've ever committed, like taking care of every part of the curse, us believing that brings us to a place of being called a child of God. And it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, New King James, it says, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." That word father right there, referring to God, it's Abba, Abba Father. And that word Abba, it's an Aramaic word. And basically, the best way to describe it is daddy. And it refers to that loving relationship with a father that cares for, that nurtures, that corrects, that is just showing love by giving guidance and direction. But it also speaks of the same, in the same, it also speaks of childlike trust. And that child trusting the Father. That there's no, you know, there's nothing that the Father would do that would hurt or harm them. There's nothing that the Father would do to mislead them or to hurt them or abuse them in any way. You see, it's really interesting because I think a lot of times, like, what we do is we take our experiences that we've had and we apply those experiences that we've had as what the Bible's talking about. So for some of us, we hear the word father and you know, it's a good thing. You know, we think of, you know, yeah, man, my earthly dad, yeah, he took care of me. He did this, you know, he stood there for me. You know, he was strong. And you know, whenever I needed some strength, man, he was there, blah, blah, blah. And then there's others of us that maybe, you know, we didn't have a great father. Maybe we had a father part of the time, you know, so it was like, you know, it's sort of like when we hear the word father, we're kind of like, okay, yeah, well, I mean, he's there whenever it's convenient for him or he's there when it's good for him. Some of us, we haven't had a father in our life. And so when we hear that word father, it's almost a bad term. It's almost a bad name because then Like when we hear the word father, we think of the earthly father that he wasn't there. He didn't take care. Matter of fact, he left. He betrayed me. He abused me. You see, there's all kinds of bad or negative things that some of us think of, and some of us have brought that situation, how what we experienced as a father, and we've put that as to what Scripture's talking about when he talks about being the father. You see, with God being our Father, he's all about taking care of us. We can we look in Scripture and we can read and know who the Father is and how he is by reading it and accepting it just like a child. Trusting his word to be true, regardless of what we had as far as experiences in our life with a father or the lack thereof. You see, it's really awesome because this morning, like it's different than what I was picturing like this series going. It's like God wants us to not grab a hold of and think about our father that was here on earth, like our earthly dad. He doesn't want us thinking about our earthly dad and putting that definition onto who our heavenly father is. He wants us coming to him. The Bible talks about how he wants us to come as a child. See, he wants us having that childlike faith, that childlike trust. You know, I think of, and I've shared the story before, but you know, when I was a kid, when I was really young, and I don't think I remember this. I think it was just, you know, from story, you know, people telling me the story, like I just pictured myself. And so now, it's a memory. But when I was really young, under four, my dad, he'd put me up wherever. High up in a tree, he'd have me climb a ladder. He just anywhere high. He'd have me, you know, climb up whatever and just dive. And when I say dive, I mean head first. But I knew he was going to catch me. And like, he thought that was just awesome, you know. Oh, yeah, my son trusts me so much. Watch this. And so, you know, there'd be different times where people were over or whatever, and he'd do it. Well, I was at my granny's. We were at my granny's. And he put me on top of a chicken coop, chicken house. The chicken house is like 6 foot, I think, at the peak on one side. On the other side, it was just like a straight hill, like down. Like the chicken house was like built, you know, kind of into the hill. And so like it was just straight down. So it was several more feet on the back side of the chicken house. Well, my dad, you know, a bunch of people are over, relatives are over and stuff, and his brothers and sisters, hey, guys, check this out. Watch what Chris does. So, you know, he sticks me up there, and I start doing my thing, you know, like going up to the edge, you know, and he was catching me. Well, me as a child, like this is what I'm getting at, with that childlike faith, with that childlike trust, I thought in my head, you know what, my dad, he's not going to let me fall. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where I jump from. So I got in my little head. Oh, he'll catch me wherever I'm at. So I turn and start running the opposite way, back of the chicken house. And my dad immediately, it clicked in his head, oh, he thinks I'm going to catch him back there. So he takes off running around the chicken house. And he's got to clear like a 5-foot fence to get to me. So he clears the 5-foot fence, and as he's clearing the 5-foot fence, he catches me in midair. And praise the Lord, my head did not hit the ground. Hard, at least. And in the first service, my dad's like, and I never did that again. Yeah, when we were little. Now, here's the reason why. Because, see, my mom was up on the carport watching the whole thing. So he got in trouble. So he waited till we got a little older where we'd keep our mouths shut and not tell mom where he had us jumping off. Truth be told, yeah. We moved to bigger things, signs, I don't know, all kinds of craziness. But and I, thinking back on it, I'm like, you know what? That probably wasn't legal. Like, I don't know. But anyway, you see, we gotta have that childlike trust where it's not like, you know, we have to figure it out. We have to know how it works. See, what the world calls gullible, that's childlike trust. It's just believing because that's what he says. He says in his word, that's what he is. I don't care what my situations or my circumstances are or what I've seen in my life. I choose to trust his word. Sometimes I think we get to this place where we're like, okay, I'm not going to be gullible. I'm not going to let people think that I'm gullible. I mean, I know what God says that he is and what he did. And I know that, like, he says that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I think sometimes that's where we let that gullibleness, like, come between our relationship with him. Because he's crying out to us. He's saying, hey, yeah, come to me like a child. I want you just trust me. Just believe in me because I said. You see, it's so powerful. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew 7, verse 11, in the New King James, it says this: if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? He's saying right here, hey, you know, if you, being a good father, now obviously he's talking to good dads that are in, you know, that are in their kids' lives, good fathers, okay? That's what he's saying about here. He's talking to the good dads. Jesus is. He's talking to the good dads. He's saying, hey, you good dads, even though you're evil, like, ultimately, we're born selfish, we're born self-centered, and because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we're able to get away from that. We're able to get away from being evil by trusting in Jesus Christ and that he paid the price for all the sin and mess up in our life. But see, this is so cool. He's saying, hey, yeah, even you, you know, the selfish one, Like, you know how you want to give good gifts to your kids. And how much more does your Heavenly Father desire to give you good gifts? See, I think what's happened in some of our lives is, and probably all of us at some point or another in our life, we've kind of kept away from some of God's goodness because we've associated and thought God the Father as our earthly dad. And I don't care how good of a dad we had here on earth. I don't care how good of a dad we've been. I'm a dad, okay? All dads have missed it. All of us have messed up in one way or another in our life with our kids. None of us are perfect. So see, it doesn't matter how good of an earthly dad you had here on earth. There's still some issues and some things that you either saw dad or heard dad or, you know, was a part of dad, you know, that like would distort a perfect view of God the Father. What his word says about him. And see, in James chapter 1, verse 17, James 1, 17, New King James, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He gives us good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This is amazing. God, he doesn't vary. He's not a good father one day and a bad father the next. There's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. When he's your father, he loves you. And see, he loves everyone. That's why Jesus came and died. He died for all of mankind. He died for all of us. So see, he has a love for us before he becomes our father. But see, whenever he becomes our father, wow. That's when it's amped up even that much more. And see, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. See, this is awesome because it doesn't matter if it's correction or it's a blessing that he gives us. Correction is actually a good thing. Correction is a father showing love to his son or his daughter. Because correction is saying, hey, look, no, don't do that. If you do that, it's going to cause this in your life. You don't want to do that. You want to do this. This is the person you want to be. And when you're doing these kinds of things, that will produce this kind of person in your life. And some of us, we've missed that. We didn't get that. We didn't. So sometimes whenever we hear correction, it's like, what? No, man. Somebody corrects me, it ain't a matter of love. It ain't a good thing. It's a bad thing. because you've never received it. You see, when we get that correction, so many times it's not right then. And it's a lot of times not even the next day. And a lot of times it's not even the next week. Sometimes it's not even the next year. But eventually, like, we look back on that correction when we get a little older and we go, oh, I get it. Yeah. The light bulb comes on and we go, wow. I am so appreciative that my dad corrected me on that. I'm so appreciative that my mom corrected me on that. It doesn't matter which way it comes from on that. But it does. It shows love. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's not always, you know, it when we're receiving things from the Father, it doesn't, not always does it feel good at the time. But we will see later that good that's come from our Heavenly Father. Now see, and this is what's so amazing, because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Matthew 5, verse 43, New King James says this: you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now Jesus, right here, he's talking, he's saying, hey, you know what? Now you've heard it said that, like, you know, it's cool. Love your neighbor, love the person that's easily loved. But make sure that you hate your enemy. And then he goes on here. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, this, what's so crazy about this right here is some of us see this and we think our father, our earthly dad. We think of how we hate them, or how we, you know, they did us wrong. They abused me. They left mom and us to fight for ourselves. Dad said this. Dad did that. Dad didn't do this. Dad didn't do that. Dad wasn't there for me. See, right here, Jesus is saying, hey, you fatherless. Or you person that didn't have a father that loved. What I'm telling you to do, go ahead and love them. And then verse 45, he says, Here's why we do it. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It's all part of being a child of God. Is being able to love those who did us wrong. He says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. See, that right there is showing that he loves. He loves, regardless if you're a child of his or not, he loves. The sun rises on the just and the unjust. It rains. Not just on the good people, on the evil people too. It rains. This is powerful. And then he goes on. He says in verse 46, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?" He's saying, if you just love the person that loves you, if you just love the person that's just easy to love, what is that? And then he goes a step further and he's like, well, hey, do not even the tax collectors do the same? See, now tax collectors are like scum of the earth. Because the tax collectors were Jews that were collecting taxes for the Romans. So they were seen as kind of betrayers to their own people. So Jesus throws out there, he's like, hey, don't even the lowest of low love people that love them. He's saying, big deal. Big deal that you love the people that are lovable. And then he goes on, verse 47. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Now here he's talking about, he's just saying, hey, you know, just showing love, greeting. Do you just greet people that greet you? Do you just greet people that are friendly to you? Or do you go ahead and greet the person that's ungreetable? And again, he's saying, hey, don't even the tax collectors do that? I mean, aren't even the tax collectors seen as, I don't know what you'd call, stuck up? Oh yeah, I only say hi to certain people. And then verse 48, it says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is so awesome. Jesus is saying right here, he's saying, hey, if you can get to that place where you love your enemy, if you can get to that place where you love the father that you never had, if you get to that place where you love the father that used you, that abused you, if you get to the place where you love the father that wasn't there, if you get to that place, you're going to see just like my Father sees. You're going to see people just like the Father sees people. You're going to love in a way that's not conditional. You're going to love in a way that's unconditional. And see, it's when we get to that place where we can see God the Father not as associated with our earthly dad, whether he was present or he wasn't. We don't associate it the Father as what we've experienced. We associate the Father with what His Word says is the Father. And when we get to that place, we see like He sees. How amazing is that? So here's the thing. You know, this morning, we're doing things just a little bit different. Mike and worship team, if you guys want to come up, they're going to be leading us in a song. And here's what I encourage us to do, and it's this. I feel like God has just said, you know what? There's people here that, like, you haven't had a father in your life at all. Or the father that you did have in your life was not a good father. And you fill in the blank as to why that was. But the bottom line is, there's been that hatred toward a father. An earthly father. There's been a hatred there. And that hatred has kept you from seeing a loving, good father. Like what His Word says. And here's what I encourage you to do. We did this in the first service, and there were several people that came down and were just praying and talking to God. And here's what I encourage you to do. I feel like this service, it's to be the same thing. We're just to kind of open this altar area up as a place where you can come. Let go of the hurt and the pain and decide in your heart that you're going to do a difficult thing. It's not easy. But you're going to love that dad that you've seen as the enemy. And as you open your heart up to love that dad that you've seen as an enemy all your life, it's going to open up something for you spiritually to where you're going to be able to see God the Father as a good.